Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City. This is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. It's a party, baby.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, delicious Bud Light. No Ben Brust today. Benny Biceps getting ready to show off at the lake with his new beach body. I'm Greg Scalzo. Our guy Homer, your cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. He will be back into the studio here shortly, I believe. He went to get himself a soda. And one of my favorite things when Homer's on the show is that Josh doesn't necessarily always know what to do with Homer. Like, Homer's a pretty enigmatic guy. And his eccentricities, I don't think they make Josh uncomfortable. I just don't think Joshy knows exactly what to do when it comes to Homer. And I have yet to hear this sound, but Josh is very excited to play this sound for us because I've heard for days now Josh in wonderment talking about Homer on vacation and what that looks like. So as Homer saunters back into the studio with his, is that a Diet Dr. Pepper? A Diet Dr. Pepper? Do you keep cash on you just to use the vending machine?
No, that's the thing. I had a $5 bill.
Ooh.
And I had to gamble the last time I went there to get one, so they stole my money.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what I lost, $2 or $3.
They're bad vending machines.
Hold on. So then there was a nice lady there, and I said, I want a Diet Mountain Dew, but it's that machine. Is this machine better? She says, oh, yeah, you can trust that machine better. So I put my $5 in, got my Diet Dr. Pepper, which isn't my first choice. Not only that, after the $2, outrageous but acceptable, I got $3 coins. Thought, you nailed
it. Like the Sacagawea coins?
Yeah, and I gave her one of the dollar coins because, yes, I like those actually dollar coins.
I do too. I like the dollar coins as well.
Yeah.
I think we should go to coins when it comes to dollars. But Josh, I was saying, sometimes doesn't always know, Homer, what to do with you because you're kind of an enigma at times. And I only noticed this because he's been talking for days about you on vacation. I don't know what he means. I'm like, Homer went on vacation. I talked to you yesterday briefly when we were in the studio. I said, how was Florida? Mm-hmm. You said it was great. I said, where'd you stay? You said, you know, I don't know if you care to tell the people where you were. I don't want to blow up your spot. But I'm like, oh, I've been there too. And then today I said, Josh, what are we thinking? He goes, I really want to play this sound on Homer's vacation. I've yet to hear it. So without further ado, here's Josh on Homer taking
a
vacation.
I have to accept this, but it's never been done before, ever. Then Jason claimed that I talked about going on vacation on a previous show. So it's kind of like in court, since you brought it up now, I can bring that witness in. That's why he wanted to talk about it. Is this a segment with Jason?
It is, correct.
Yeah, the worst segment I've ever done. I tried to make discussion of my vacation so bad that he'll never ask again, just so you know the foundation of it.
Okay,
and then you can judge from there.
I hope Nancy enjoyed her vacation more than...
What do I mean? What am I supposed to talk? What do you...
beaches, walk on the beach.
No, never go to beaches. No, never go to beaches, never go on a boat. No, I have no interest in any of that.
Tausch usually says the food is the highlight of his trip.
It's true.
Yeah, yes, food's good. And what that's because, no. No, I'm terrible. Have, as Tony Smith says, the palate of a 10-year-old. The food, it may be for you. It is the least more important part ever. I've never been a place in my life with the food. Food is at the lowest because I don't appreciate good food. You know, I could go there. They could have served me macaroni and cheese for every evening meal, and I'd have been fine, which is pathetic.
That was Homer talking about his vacation.
What I eat. Anybody?
I mean, I don't find that as fascinating as Josh apparently does.
I agree with you. That you was the 10.
You don't ever go to beaches, boats, like nothing.
Very, very, very. No,
so
I hate,
true vacation.
I hate beaches. I think beaches are the stupidest thing ever invented. Other than when you can go to a beach where the waves are enough that you kind of ride the waves a little bit.
Why are they the stupidest thing ever?
Because a pool's better. Well, you don't have to deal with all the sand and everything. It's just a mess.
It's the sand.
It's horrible.
It's the sand.
There's no. What's the benefit of a beach to a pool? Tell me what it is. The water's better in the pool than it is.
No, salt water's far better for you than chlorine.
I didn't say for you. What? Oh, now we're doing health things? I want water that's good for me?
I mean, if you want. Yes.
What is that?
Beach is far more relaxing. You get a lot more peace than you do at a pool. Two.
Find a pool where there aren't so many people. What do you mean?
The salt water is by far better than the chlorine, although I'm guessing you like the heated pools. Like, hey, it's 80 degrees.
Well, no, I don't like salt water. In what? In what way is it better? The pool water you're in is much more comfortable. Salt water's a pain.
Oh, I disagree.
You disagree?
I love the feeling of the salt on your skin after going
to the beach
all day. Well, but
you don't have a... Actually, the pool that I was in at these people's place has salt water in the pool.
See, I love a good salt water pool.
That I would agree with, yeah.
But I think it's the common... And again, I'm saying common. I'm not saying this is for absolutely everybody, but I think the majority of people like to put themselves in a place that makes them feel small and makes the rest of the world feel big. And realizing there's something larger than yourself out there. Like, that to me is why...
Wait a minute. Repeat what you just said.
Why?
The craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
How?
That I want to be in a place that makes me, what is small?
That makes you, like, we all live in our worlds, right?
Fine.
So every day you wake up, you go to McDonald's, you buy your you get your $1.10 meal.
Yeah.
You drive to the studio in your car.
Yeah.
You do the same thing. When people go on vacation, they want to feel different. They want to experience things they don't normally experience. And I think that largely when you think about people going to, I don't know, national parks or the mountains. People like to see things that put their life and their world in perspective, Homer.
No, there's nothing to do with it. It's whether I find it entertaining or I'm curious to do
but
that.
I'm
it doesn't
saying
have
that's
anything
why
to
people
my...
ultimately find it to be a relaxing place to be or okay, find it a soothing place to be. Now you don't like that.
Thing.
Like people.
It's just the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's
it may be true. It's your version. But...
It's very common for people who are in AA if they don't believe in, if they're not religious, they will say, you believe in the ocean, something larger than you, which is where that kind of idea is coming from.
Well, I also think, Homer, like, you just don't want to go to the beach and play volleyball. You don't want to have...
No, volleyball...
You don't want to drink Bud
Lights
on the
example.
Beach. Like,
volleyball is a great sport. You don't need sand. It makes
it
worse
on the beach.
And harder.
What we're discovering is that Homer just doesn't like sand, which is okay.
Yes, sand is a worthless piece of... It does nothing better. It makes everything worse.
I love sand.
Need all these water things. I got to get all the sand off. Sand's in your clothes. Sand is everywhere. There's no need for the sand. I can get better pools without the sand. I get better volleyball without the sand.
You have the palate of a 10-year-old.
You know what the best sand is?
And you feel, and that's what 10-year-olds mostly
no,
say, is get the sand off.
You know what? That's why Hilton Head is so popular. Because they have hard sand. They have sand that's not sand and you can ride your bike on. That is spectacular because it's not sand. It's sand, it's not sand.
You know that the majority of people like going to the beach and you don't, so maybe everything...
The majority?
I would say the majority of people like going on beach vacations, yes.
Okay.
I think that's the case.
I don't know what the percentage is there.
What's
I think
the problem with boats?
The pain of all... For example, my father had a line and I checked to see if it was accurate. He said, the two greatest days for people that own a boat, you know what it is?
The day they buy it or the day they sell it?
Who in hell would buy something in which the second greatest day is when you sell it? No one says that about a car.
You don't own
in
the boat, though, Homer.
In a fact, well, they do have boats, things like that, which tries to help. But, like, who would say that about a car? You love a car. The last thing you'd want to do is sell it. The second best day is when I sell the boat. Explain how that can be an enjoyable thing.
Homer, your ideal vacation is what?
The best vacation was going to London. I adored London. We walked around and went to dad. I just thought it was fantastic. I clearly like places that speak English.
So your idea
loved
is to
it.
Go to a big city, walk, which you could do anywhere, right? You could do that in Milwaukee.
Correct.
But
and that's different, but it's not like bigger or whatever. It's just different.
But you don't think that's because you are intrigued by a different culture because it is something that is different and foreign.
Just that it's interesting. Yeah, but I mean, I don't look at it like, well, this tells me how big the world is.
Well, I don't think people consciously think that way, but I think that's clearly ultimately like why people appreciate going and having those different experiences and being out. And
if you say so.
I guess I'm curious. So you, London was a good one, but you was walking around and just looking at the sites.
Yeah, the history of that. My wife is involved in history, so she gets that's more involved than me, but I loved and would love when the kids, we have kids, I loved going to Disneyland and Disney World.
Ugh.
Love right, amusement parks.
That's the worst vacation you could possibly
No, we figured that out. You don't know how to do it the right way.
No, it's not that I don't know how to do it.
Do you like museums?
Miserable.
What?
Do you like museums?
Depends. Like, what kind of museum is it? I can like museums if they're good. There are bad museums and nobody cares about everything that's in there, or very few people do. But then, like with Disney World, we had it figured out. We found a place where you get like a mobile home and it's right on the site. So you buy all the food, you go in, you go to the rides, you come back, and then kids can eat whatever they want. And then you go back there, and it was fabulous. Now, it's been a few years, so I'd have to figure out the plan.
You could not pay me to go and stay in a trailer on the Disney World grounds. I couldn't do it. Like, so what I'm getting the sense of is, one, you hate sand.
That's true. Yes.
Two.
Sand is the most overrated thing ever on the earth.
Two, you're somebody that can't sit still. You just constantly need to be moving. The idea of sitting on a beach to you is not relaxing. It is, okay, what's next? It's you play golf. It's the way that you're talking about London. I want to see the history. Now we have to go and see these sites. It's the way you're talking about a museum. And the Disney World, for you, you get to build out an itinerary, and we got to go to this park, then this park, then that park, then that park. We're going to ride this ride. We're going to get this fast pass. And oh, man, that was a great day.
No. There's a lot of waiting. There's the limit to taking advantage of that, because it's the expenses are insane.
Insane.
So
you could go to London twice for what you spent on Disney World.
I can slow down on that. The price will definitely slow me down. But, yeah, I like to be doing something. But I think the key is, yes, my distaste for sand, not only what is reality, but the fact that it is the most overrated thing in the history of humanity.
Hilsey chimes in, says, breaking news, old man doesn't like sand.
I didn't like it. I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, they go to places and girls want to sit on the beach. If I got to meet you on the beach, we ain't meeting. I don't want to waste time there to get a tan.
You would pass up opportunities with...
did it all the time. We'll meet somewhere else. We'll do something else. Because it's sitting there doing nothing like this. Just so my skin gets darker. Then I got sand I got to get rid of. And then I got to go. All for what?
So this came up because they asked Homer about his vacation, and the only thing he could report back on was the fact that he watched the PGA Championship, some playoff games, and tennis. And when he brought up, like, what did you do? To me, Homer stayed inside the house.
No, we played golf each day, so they didn't bring that up. And that was a huge part of it.
Well, that's what I thought when I asked your ideal vacation. It would have been, it's me, it's my golf buddy who we can play 18 holes in 2 hours, and we're staying on site at the golf course, and then we just wake up, we play 36 holes, we go to McDonald's, we grab a bite, and then we go to bed by 8 p.m.
No, that's not it at all. But like, for example, when I go with the family, with my wife, I never take golf clubs. I never play golf. That's not part of the deal. They don't need to go somewhere and then have me just go play golf.
Totally. I get that.
But if I'm just going, then I play golf. But it doesn't. I'm willing to go certain places, but it's just about what's not important to me. Like, I understand food. Maybe that I'm kind of scared of food. I don't like food based on the way it looks and things. I should probably just close my eyes and just eat it. I think I would get better.
You're Ben Brust, but far less willing to expand your horizons, which is shocking.
Oh, no.
Ben has been willing to at least try new things.
You do that when you're younger. At one point, you get to an age and you go, the hell with it. Yeah. No, I'll just go to McDonald's. It's fine. I'm okay with it. People go like, you're just an old man and
you're
worthless.
What's the most adventurous thing you've eaten?
I don't know. That's a great question.
All right.
Not much.
Back to me on it.
Not much. Soup? Maybe not. I don't know. No, there is no answer to that. I'm sure at some point I've done it. Like, I've never had oysters.
Oh.
Don't like the way they look.
You are missing out.
No, I'm not. Shrimp is fine.
Shrimp is the bottom rung
fine.
Of shellfish.
That's good enough.
Bottom
fine.
Rung.
I've had other shellfish. I'm okay with it. I like it. It's good enough. You know, they just don't look right.
Homer, where did you eat so much shrimp you almost threw up?
Oh, that was in when I was a. So we didn't go to restaurants often, and a famous cafeteria, Morris Bryant's, is in West Lafayette, where we played Purdue, Wisconsin. We need to take a break. And very few times in my life had I ever had shrimp cocktail. Well, at Morris Bryant's, I had a big bowl of shrimp cocktail, and they were smaller ones. I ate so many bowls. I didn't eat anything else but maybe like one piece of meat. And I got so sick, I almost couldn't play the next day. Just throw it up. What happened? I think it might have been the fifth bowl of shrimp cocktail. It was like when they talk about people that come from Russia and they go to a grocery store, and that's exactly how I was. And I would have eaten more.
If you could.
If I could have.
If you could have. Then you made yourself sick on it. Well,
yes.
I feel like Josh's curiosity has been quenched here.
Sure.
We could potentially move on to some OTA conversations around the Green Bay Packers. Homer, I need your advice with a few things as well. So we'll keep it moving here on Scalzo and Ross, presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
We have the hall monitor back on air again.
Right. Did he invite himself back on?
All right.
Jesse,
are we
Nelson
going to your wedding or what?
I'll have you guys know I was the master of ceremonies for my graduation right. from Lake Geneva right. Middle
Hang
school.
Up on him, please.
Thanks you for the call. Right. Cool.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fills in on Thursdays. I feel like every time you're on, it's a Thursday.
No,
it's
that's
a Grateful
up on
Dead
someone
Thursday.
Else. I have made it clear. Whenever I'm asked, I'll do it. Have I ever said no?
Not to my knowledge.
So
no.
If you know, it's a decision on your part whether you being nice to me don't have me do Thursdays. Or really don't care how I feel about it. He'll show up either way, and that's fine. I'm
Thursdays
happy to do it.
Isn't a good day for you because it's Grateful Dead Thursday.
I'm okay now. I've gotten better.
Okay. And that you don't like the over-under par game that usually comes
up
in the second half.
The game is fine. Ben doesn't like when I say I stink at it. I'm not good at it. That's all I'm saying. I've helped out a little bit, but that was my only thoughts. The music, I'm okay with.
Greg, I have spoken with the people who do the scheduling and help get fill-ins, and I've specifically said if we can avoid Homer on Thursdays, let's do that because he doesn't love. I said all other days, but
no,
let's
want you to tell them.
Homer's
I don't want
him
to tell me I won't do Thursdays. You got to drop that. Homer will do it any day.
That's what makes you the best, Homer. That's why we love you. That's
You're
why
here.
The Scalzo
You're here.
Family loves you. 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. We'll head there. Talk with the official, unofficial uncle of the Scalzo and Russ family, Ron in the Key.
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up, Ron?
I think, there's a place that would be a great vacation for everyone on the panel here. I've actually been on vacation with one of the members of the panel in this very place.
Is it Las Vegas, Ron?
It is Las Vegas.
It's a little predictable coming from you.
It's got a pool. Hell, one of the pools, I believe, even has a beach if you really want to get sand on yourself. But there's all kinds of pools. Everybody on the panel likes to gamble. There is golf, really nice golf. Did I mention there's gambling?
But I've been there without gambling.
There's a nude pool, too, so if you don't like
going to
the nude beach,
no,
I don't. Go to the nude pool.
I would ban nude pools. I don't.
Homer, the other thing
people
that Homer
don't
likes,
look good in the nude. If people look good in the nude, some do, but it's a real minority.
But I would say that a higher proportion of that minority is at some of the Vegas pools. Homer, there's roller coasters there. Homer likes.
I know. I've done that. I've done all the different things there. They're great areas to go to in Vegas.
Thank you, Ron.
For the call.
I don't think you need to sell us. No. I want you to continue. I just don't know if we need to be sold on Vegas as a good vacation destination. It's literally known as a vacation and tourist destination.
But my wife has no interest in gambling, so we've gone there and stayed one block off the strip. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact place, but Marcus has it, and they have a couple. And then the Hoover Dam. I mean, they're great walking areas. There's stuff to do in Vegas, assuming it's not 200 degrees. We went one time right after school got out, and to be nice to my son, we got a convertible. We wanted to get a convertible. It was so hot, the convertibles were all, the top was up. Because the top
too hot.
Out, it was too hot. You couldn't walk on the pool. This is only bad pool with your feet on without shoes because it was too hot.
See,
I'd rather
go to Winnipeg in December, January, than I would the desert in the summer. Like, I'd rather be at 15 below than at 115 degrees.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the same page there. Josh, you did post a poll, said if you have the option of going to either one, which of these options are you choosing, beach or pool? 56% say beach, only 44% say pool, but it's a little bit closer than I thought. Bill in Waukesha says, who's worse, Disney people or cat people? I don't think he's talking about you, Homer, who maybe goes there once in a while with your kids. I think he's talking about like Disney people who go there without kids, with kids, and that's what they are passionate about. That's their thing. And it's hands down Disney people.
Yeah, it's Disney freaks without a question. Homer, do you own pets? Have you owned pets?
Are we pets? We do not have a pet gene in our family. The stories of true and pets. You know what happens to the pet? It doesn't make it.
All right. Chef Ed, the official and official chef of the Scalzone Breast.
Well, you just ended that. You've never ended a topic before. Like, we're moving on. What? Do you think I stab him or something?
I mean, I didn't want you to incriminate yourself.
No.
I don't know if, like...
Well, here's an example. My father brought home, he must have got something. We never had a pet. We had a cat, Scampi, because back then you would have cats because you never saw them. Anybody seen Scampi the last 3 days? No, just pull up. They just did whatever they want. So he brought home a Doberman Pinscher that he had gotten somewhere.
Somewhere? Like, did he win this?
I don't know how he got it. I don't know. All he knows is it was there. We put it in kind of a bathroom. It was gone the next day. We never saw it again. One day of the Doberman Pinscher and just all the excitement, whatever, gone.
Well, that was how it was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
Is that you didn't keep a dog in the yard. It's just, hey, dog, this is where you eat. This is where you get your water. You come home when you come home, and you go out when you go out.
Right. And cats even more so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not that way anymore.
No kidding.
Not that way anymore.
No kidding.
I don't want to beat up on Ben and Bruce right now, but I'm very tempted to. That's all I'll say. Ben has a very unique relationship with his dog. Maybe it's not unique because I feel like a lot of people are this way. He's got a very significant relationship with his dog, Bruce. Yes.
What turns it to significant?
Here's a way to explain it. The dog can't go to doggy daycare because it's too attached to humans.
Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't want to put
dogs. About dogs leaving and going out into the world for 2 days and then coming back to eat. Bruce and Benny are tied at the hip.
Okay. I think that's crazy. It's a dog. Eventually, the dog will be fine.
Well, it's also probably not
Ben
a dog.
Ben doesn't
the way,
want the dog to go there. That's what we're talking about.
It's not a Doberman Pinscher. It's a
whatever
it's a small,
it is. Whatever
mini
it is.
Golden
Ben deer. Has this problem, not the dog. The dog can easily go to wherever you
doggy
take
daycare.
Dogs. Whatever dogs, wherever dogs go to and what they call them, and will adjust easily. Ben will not adjust, right?
I don't know. I don't want to get into his relationship with his dog. You everybody who listens to the show knows how much I will rip Ben Brust, but it's when he's here. When he's not here, I'm going to attack the man for his relationship with his dog, Bruce.
Like, he doesn't want the dog to be with anybody else, or?
I think he would now. I think that he would want the dog to feel more comfortable playing with other dogs and being at a dog daycare or like a kennel. But I think that right now, like, it's just not the case. Okay. So that, Yes, that's an interesting one. We'll table that for a time that the three of us are on together.
I never knew a dog daycare how often the dog is with other dogs. I thought the dog might be in a kennel and they give it a walk, or I don't know what
that's the whole point is. Let's like my dog's the exact opposite. My dog doesn't want anything to do with humans. He just wants to be with other dogs. He wants to be outside. He wants to kill small animals and he wants to play with other dogs. That's all he wants to do.
Okay.
I would like to hear Homer and Ben talk pets at some point. Chef Ed agrees with you, Homer, says there's no use for sand. Ezra from Port Washington wants an update on your lane deviation ticket that you're fighting. You told that story previously on Scalzo and Bras.
Correct. I had May the 11th, I was supposed to go there, and I called my attorney, and he said he got a future date. You know, you just plead not guilty. And then, so where it goes from there is whether we change venues to get a jury trial in Waukesha. My friend, a very good attorney and a close friend, has said that'd be the stupidest thing you've ever done. You're not going to win. You have no chance of winning. So why do you want to do it? And I go, because I think this is just fundamentally wrong. And he goes, fine, that's great. Did you hear me? You're going to lose. So that date, he hasn't even informed me of when it is, but I suspect I will get rid of the points, pay about the amount, and wait till for the next time, maybe when I decide.
To stick it to the man. Yeah, see, it's like everybody. It's good to think you're going to stick it to the man until you realize the man's one-upped everybody. Got us.
No. I'm going to lose. I don't care. I just wanted to be on the record as to what occurred.
Yeah.
For whatever purpose that is worth.
The record.
I don't know. If I go in front of the judge, if I gone in front of the judge in Tulsa, it'd be there, you know?
It's like we can look up like Steve True's permanent record from third grade.
No.
You know, they still got.
I don't know how they would put it in, but they'd have Homer saying, this is what happened. This is wrong. And the judge would go, you lose. Here's what you owe. We move on to the next case. But it has to be. There's some record of it, right? I don't know that.
It's somewhere. It's on some ticker tape somewhere.
But yes, I have not since I ever brought it up have heard anybody else mention of knowing anyone who ever got a ticket for deviation from designated lane. And so that, to me, reinforces my opinion. Other than if you are involved in an accident, they will give that to you as a part of the punishment for creating an accident.
Okay.
Not creating an accident. I believe no such ticket has ever been given in the history of humanity, which by nature would make you think that it was wrong.
But you're going to lose.
Correct. Yes.
I don't know what else to say.
Well, neither do I. I mean, that's... I can lose and not lose money, or I can lose.
You're not even fighting. Like, that's the thing. You've accepted that you've lost, but you just want it on this invisible record that no one will ever read.
Yes, I want everybody to know.
Well, why don't you just write out your side of the story on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Get a thumbtack. Walk into the woods at Estabrook Park here. Take it to a tree, and as many people will see that as would see it on the record.
No. That that will disappear. The record exists forever now with computers and stuff like that.
But it doesn't. Like,
it doesn't? It disappears?
I mean, if there's a piece of sand, to go back to our point, on the beach that exists forever, but nobody knows it's there, does it really exist?
They will know it there because I might bring it up. Now, it's a good point. I will ask my guy that if I go in front of the judge whenever I have a chance to, because I have another chance, what on the record exists?
If you're a lawyer, please tell us if you've ever been in one of these situations.
What record? I think there's just an invisible record in your head of every file from everywhere, period.
There is. Well, does it just say that it's on my record?
It'll
that
just
I got
say you contested
ticket.
It. It'll just
it's
say. Just,
so that's all it will
you
be.
You think they put every full transcript of every
no,
complaint?
I don't know. I didn't expect a full transcript. I don't know what exists, if any transcript. That's what I'm curious.
At
so
some
you're
point,
saying there's none.
If we're having this energy crisis right now as a world, right, as Earth, and we're using energy to run servers, a lot of energy to run servers so that we can store data that tells me Steve True is complaining about a lane variation ticket from 30 years ago, the lane deviation. Thank you, Josh. Important distinction. Yes. A lane deviation ticket from 30 years ago that took place on something that he's not even fighting. He really just wanted to note it.
No, I am fighting. Then I would have to fight it.
That, you're not even fighting. There's no fight in what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, no. The fight is I go in front of the judge and he says, they're not guilty. And what do you want to say? And I say what I want. And I know it exists on the record. How much of the discussion that we have exists, I don't know. Your belief would be very little. But the thought that we're spending this stuff a million times less important exists in the clouds or whatever.
You think there are things a million times less important than you?
Okay. Yes. Then my legal fight over a ticket. Yes.
It's not a legal fight over a ticket. It's a, you said it yourself. It's a, you just want it on the record. You
well,
just
no. Your it's a legal fight that I have admitted record. I know I'm losing.
Then it's not a fight. Then it's not a fight.
No, I'm fighting it. Okay. You know, you go play basketball with somebody you know you're going to beat. It still exists, even though you know you're going to, or somebody knows they're going to lose. Right? They still do it. It still exists that the competition occurred.
It's a competition, though.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Isn't that what a court of law is? A competition?
Or seemingly.
Well, no. Seemingly, I try to win, and they try. Their side tries to win as well.
But you've already admitted defeat. You've already.
Based on what my attorney told me, yes, okay. I could argue that point.
Is there a chance that your attorney's just going to save you the time and the money and just pay it for you and say, yep, Homer,
well, no,
you got,
he
you
won't
got
pay
it,
it
on your
for
record.
Me, but he might say, look, it's going to cost you this
yes,
amount.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and I think it's likely that I will do that, especially if there's no record of my record. If there's a record of my record, there's an increasing chance that I will go in front of the judge because it happens pretty quickly.
All right. I need Ezra in Port Washington to continue to remind us to ask Homer about this court battle that we have going on for the lane deviation ticket. This is Scalzo and Brust. Homer in for Ben Brust. We're presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager since 1982. Light, crisp, and refreshing. An ice cold Bud Light is waiting for Homer after he wins his case. After he gets his point made on the record, he could celebrate with a Bud Light made with four simple, high quality ingredients. Barley,
I'll buy
rice,
lots of Bud Light
water. Yes.
Bud Light's for everyone.
Light, clean, crisp taste. Pick up Bud Light during your next visit to Woodman's Total Wine Festival, Walmart, Quick Trip, and Pick and Save. We'll hit some one or zeros next on Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
What's your favorite type of art?
What types are there?
Do you have a favorite artist?
Van Gogh.
There is no to everything. No. Nothing about Van Gogh except he's missing an ear.
Yep. That's why he's my favorite.
I was going to see how many questions I could get to prove what an art fraud he is.
I'm not an art fraud. I just think art is dumb, but I love art.
Can you love something and think it's dumb all in the same?
Absolutely. A lot of people love me.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Benny Beachbot on vacation. We've got Homer in his place on Greg
Scalzo. Did he take
Scalzo.
His dog on vacation and everything?
I think he did.
His dog's with him. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Ron in the Key chimes in, and Ben did give me permission because he's listening. Hey, Ben. To rip him behind his back. But I don't know. It felt weird. Like
It's not
like
the
Bruce.
Same.
Ron in the Key says Ben sleeps with Bruce. He thinks you'll find that odd, Homer.
Oh, no. Question is how he sleeps. Many, many people, our cat sleeps on our bed sometimes. So I don't know, you know, if
Ben and Bruce both sleep under the covers together.
Under the covers together. Like the dog was another person.
It's my understanding. Yes.
Yeah, the degree to which that exists is a little odd. But I'll defer to...
See, I'm a dog off the bed kind of guy.
All right.
I don't know. Everybody's different.
I used to be, but... You know, a cat's a little smaller than a dog.
Cat's a little smaller than a dog. Probably doesn't go outside.
Right, no. If it was up to me, we wouldn't have the damn cat. But my wife
likes
it.
So it doesn't sound like it's your call to have the cat sleep on
the bed.
Well, no.
No, it isn't. But it's not, you know.
It doesn't bother you.
It's not the end of the world. A huge dog would be, I just want to be able to sleep well. I can sleep pretty well, but To have a dog under the covers, that's odd. Now, I'll defer to...
Well, Benny does sleep in the nude as well. That's, I don't know if that complicates
matters. That's not odd.
I also sleep in the nude.
No, I don't care how much he has on, but the dog under the covers, like another person...
It's chilly.
You can't know. I think that's... Have you had the poll question? I think that's odd.
Is it odd 10%. To have your dog sleep under the covers with you? All right, yes. We'll put it on the poll on Twitter, at Scalzo and Russ. Let's go under over 15, under. You think it's under 15%?
Oh, yes, yes.
Let's say that it's not odd. I'll say...
No, that it's odd. Or no, wait, that it's not odd.
Yes.
Correct, yeah.
I'll take the other side
of it. All right, okay. It's odd. Is it at least 85%? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the other side of that.
Now, it's got to be a dog, not a cat.
Yep, agreed? Yeah. Put it on there, Joshy. We'll get it up on the poll on Twitter, at Scalzo and Russ. Speaking of dogs, Dave from Minota, the official and unofficial blind guy of the Scalzo and Russ family, says, Homer, if you want to beat your ticket, take a seeing eye dog or a blind guy, and you will get sympathy, says his friend in Columbia County did that with him and got his ticket erased.
Say it one more time.
Dave from Monona.
Yeah.
Whom you know.
I know Dave, yes.
Says if you take a seeing eye dog or a blind guy, you will get sympathy at the courthouse and you can get your ticket erased.
Okay, I thought you said that. And I go, what's the risk of trying to sell that bluff?
Well, you don't want to just take the seeing eye dog because they might question your license and say, hey, if you have a seeing eye dog, maybe you shouldn't be driving.
I like Dave, but I don't see how that works well. I mean, in theory, okay, but I don't think I can pull it off. Maybe you could, but...
Jonan Cederberg, the official and unofficial robot builder of the Scalzo and Russ family, who's recently engaged to a human, not a robot, Homer, says, when is Homer's court date, and is it open to the public? Because if it is, we should get the Scalzo and Russ family there for support. And now I'm on board.
Yeah.
Homer, we will fight this with you.
All right, I'll check into that.
Talk to your lawyer.
I will check
into
that.
See if it's open to the public. If we can we create a petition?
No, I believe it is open to the public. I've been to this court in Tulsa over a parking ticket. So I know.
Parking ticket?
Yeah, and I won. They gave me a parking ticket for parking in front of our house overnight. And you can't do that. I understand it. But we've been living there. Doesn't it? One day I have the car there. And
so you just reasoned with the judge.
No, I went to the judge and said, come on. And the judge said, okay. He bought it.
It's a good judge.
Actually, he said, and can you get somebody in the Marquette Basketball Hall of Fame? And I said, I'm not important enough, but I'll try. Bobby Wolf. And to the credit of the judge, he's right. Bobby Wolf should be in the Hall of Fame.
Is he in there?
What do you think?
No.
No.
So the judge held up his end of the bargain. You couldn't get Bobby Wolf into the Marquette Hall of Fame.
I held up my end because I told him, look, I'm not important enough, but I'll check it, and I think he probably should be. And so I made my pitch to the people that are in charge, and it failed, and they're wrong because he should be in. But, yeah, I suspect that I don't know how they decide. They look at somebody's record. It was idiotic.
But
this is even worse.
Yes, and we've got Ezra from Port Washington says, hashtag free Homer, get it trending. The Scalzo and Russ family is ready to step up. Maybe we create a petition. What is that? There's like a petition website, right?
Change.org
to get Homer's ticket overturned. We're on this now, Scalzo and Russ family. Tom in Milwaukee says, we doing sports today? No. 1-0 next on Scalzo and Russ.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
The question I get the most doing this show with you, Ben Brust.
Yeah, what's that?
Is Ben really that dumb or is it an act? And I have the same answer every time. It's Ben's not dumb at all. He's actually pretty smart. He just doesn't know things.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bad Russ, Scal's Omebrust and a Grateful Dead Thursday. We're presented by Bud Light. You, the Scal's Omebrust family, calling us, texting us, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank talk. Text line, First Midwest Bank, Division of Old National Bank. Joshy, let's get to some winners here.
Are you a one or a zero? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
He is Homer. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants for one or zero. Joshy DiMaggio is your host. He asks us a question. We say one for yes, zero for no. There is no gray area. Joshy, take it away.
Today, highly regarded actor Ray Liotta, known for appearing in films like Goodfellas, Field of Dreams, Blow, and Hannibal, passed away in his sleep. One or zero, Goodfellas is a top five movie of all time.
I will say one, and I will go a step further and say it is the greatest movie ever made. It is as close to a perfect movie as you can possibly put together. It is that good.
It's just not better than Shawshank Redemption.
Better than Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
I can take 15 minutes out of Shawshank. I can only take about five out of Goodfellas.
Okay.
I mean, look, you know what? I shouldn't be defensive right now, Homer. They're both in that top tier of movie.
Yeah. I had never heard of it when I saw it. And it was at a Marquette. We were on the road to a Marquette game. And it might have been Jim McElwain. I said, you should watch this. And I was amazed how good it was that I didn't, you know, you'd heard of The Godfather or different movies. Yep. And you'd think someone would have said, I'm not a huge mafia fan, but this one was, it's just a spectacular movie. You're right.
So I think I know your answer to one or zero. American mob movies are the best genre of movies.
No, because it just amazes me, the fascination with the mob. Like, they just kill people. And they're nice. We like them. They're good people. What is this? You know, they just, you know, the people that have dealt with the mafia and lived in areas, they just you know, you either pay us or we kill you. Oh, the mafia. Yeah, I want to learn more about them. I don't get it. But I've never gotten that from the beginning. But there have been clearly some great movies.
Great movies and great TV shows, right? Like, I mean, you obviously think about The Sopranos. Yeah. That's one of the greatest TV shows of all time. But I think part of it is this idea that a lot of these, you know, these guys in the mob have families at home. It's like living a double life.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
And so it seems like, hey, I can relate to Tony Soprano or I can relate to Henry Hill, but they also are, to your point, bad guys.
Yeah, they found a way to make this stuff positive. There's no positive about it.
I don't know if they make the work positive, but it humanizes people that are very difficult to humanize.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it, right?
Totally. And it's all crap. There's no humanizing evil. These are evil people. There's some exceptions, but generally evil. They based on the premise of killing people that we don't like. And I'm not for that. I'm kind of against that. I want to be on the record for that.
I'm on the record for that as well. I see.
Yeah, on the record.
Please note that on the record that Josh was third on the record for that. the idea is that like we're all attracted to these stories because they're multifaceted human beings. Like this idea that you could love your children that much and then go out, boom, kill somebody, go back, and the next morning you're making them a peanut butter sandwich for lunch. That's like fascinating. And I don't think it's not, just mob movies.
No, but it's evil.
It's
not
evil.
Fascinating.
But I'm saying it's not just limited
to mob
movies.
There's nothing anybody should find anything positive about that person. Because we don't find the real truth. They leave out all the stuff.
Isn't also a really interesting fabric of it, like that they have such honor and loyalty, but when you step out of line, it's the ultimate price you pay. So there's like a code of conduct within this brutal crime organization that also is something where it's like, well, that's honorable, or they're very loyal.
It's an established hierarchy. You got to pay up, you know.
Right.
You got the families, and I mean, it's a sexy storyline. Like there's a reason why
it is, because they hide the reality of it.
Well, yes, I mean, obviously there's underbelly.
That, I mean, that's why it's I haven't appreciated those movies as much as a genre than probably the value of the movie. And they've made some phenomenal ones and. Goodfellas is one, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a lot of other movies out there that aren't just about the Italian mob, which does color us Italian-Americans in a different light. But let's be honest, the big part of this is, like, Goodfellas with Scorsese, right?
Yeah.
You know, The Godfather. You know, you have a lot of Italian American filmmakers that came over and made some interesting movies.
Yes, I agree.
One or zero. Field of Dreams is a top five sports movie.
Zero. It's not a top five sports movie. Field of Dreams. Sorry, Ray.
I don't know. It's really good.
When's the last time you watched it?
I watch it when it's on, portions of it, yeah.
And you still think it's good?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. Like, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, this is cool. Everybody says it's a great movie. It's not like a movie. It's overacted. It's like, it's ridiculous.
What's overacted?
I mean, the whole father-son thing. It's like, it doesn't
not
even point
overacted
to real father-son issues. Like, it's like a, like an overture of like...
Well, it's like The Natural. It's made up.
Of course it's made up. They're ghosts coming out of the cornfield.
Correct, but I'm saying, so what about, we're like overacting? We're overacting coming out of the cornfield? I mean,
it's cheesy, and it just feels like it ages out. Like, it's a very...
Heavy-handed.
Well, when you like mob movies as much as you do, yeah, it's a pretty boring.
I mean, it is actually a fairly boring movie, you know? And then he spends how long? 20 minutes going and looking for the author who wrote the book. And
yeah, but the author's James Earl Jones.
I know,
and
he's got the great voice, but it's actually a horribly boring character who, like, you know, and I don't know. I'm not a big Field of Dreams guy.
Yeah. All right, one more here. A 16-foot-wide painting.
Durham over, you know, Field of Dreams.
A 16-foot-wide painting from New York graffiti artist Jean-Michel Basquiat sold for $85 million at auction earlier this month. One or zero. No art is worth $85 million.
I don't know. The idea of art is just to get rich people to like it. So rich people are richer now than they used to be. So they pay outrageous amounts of money for it. I mean, that's... My son's an artist. You have one job. Try to get rich people to like it. Then other rich people say,
what
you have.
What kind of artist? Painter?
Acrylics and stuff.
Acrylics.
I mean, he's done all different kind of stuff.
Interesting.
But yeah, so is it? Yeah, of course. It's crazy. But someone will pay more.
Homer, have you ever seen art and been like stricken by it or like overwhelmed with what it made you feel?
No, but I've learned from my son, who has the ability to do that. I don't have an art gene either. Like when he was trying to get into the Milwaukee Institute of Art, is that it is? It was like August, and he wasn't and at a school, and so So I go in. The lady walks in the room, and one of his pieces of art in the corner. She goes, "He's in." What do you mean? Yeah, he can come here. Yep,
just recognize immediately.
And I said, "Okay, can you help me out?" The hell do you see from that?
Well, it's
she said, well, it's... But he, you know, there's a genre with artists. I take him to the Milwaukee Institute of Art. He's like 15. He walks in and says, 10 minutes, we can go. Why? He goes, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just artists are a different breed. But I can, from him, I've listened to and understand that, you know, that some people get it. I don't. So
and I also think that, like, let's be honest, $85 million. Now there's these services where you could buy a share of a painting,
correct,
expecting the value of that painting to increase. So yeah, it's, you know, at this point they're looked at as much as investments,
right,
as is the beauty of this.
That price tells me as much that people just have too much money.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that clearly that amount of money.
Not for Joshy. Joshy doesn't believe there's a limit to wealth. One or zero is presented by Eat Street. Shout out to our friends at Eat Street, the official food delivery partner of you, the Scalzone Bros family, and of course of the world champion Milwaukee Bucks. They connect you with your favorite local restaurants, bars, and taverns. They deliver your food safely to wherever you are. It's so easy. You have the app downloaded, order your food, boom, that's it. You can save your favorites. You could try new things. You could sort by genre. You can sort by price. You could sort by delivery time. Whatever you need, they have it. Local Wisconsin company, started in Madison, Wisconsin, based in Madison, Wisconsin. Check them out. They've been so great to you, the Scalzone Bros family, so great to us. They always deliver, pun intended. Plus, if you're in the Madison area, earn a $1,500 bonus as an Eat Street delivery driver. Go to eatstreet.com/careers. That's eatstreet.com/careers. I do at some point want to talk a little Packers with Homer. We'll try to fit it in next, but I also need a little bit of advice when it comes to tipping, which we've done once before, but this is a little different. This Scalzone Bros presented by Bud Light.